a lot of things, and sometimes we need to maybe have a little better explanation of some different things. And I want to look at first, 2 Timothy 2:15. And we, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we'll look at that today a little bit more. Maybe put things in a little more get a little more context on a few things here. Rightly dividing. I want to talk about dispensational salvation. Dispensational salvation. And hopefully it'll clear up some things. Dispensational. Salvation. And we'll look at Old Testament law. And then the death of the testator, church age, tribulation period, millennial reign. Oops, millennial reign got kind of short, didn't it? Millennial reign. Church age, tribulation. I'm going to put 1,000-year reign. Of Christ. Okay. I'm not going to deal too much with before the Old Testament law was given, but basically, grace has always been involved in man's salvation. Adam was before the law. He had one rule. He broke it. God shed the blood of an innocent lamb to cover Adam and Eve's sin. But once you're under law, where there's no law, there's no transgression. So there's the law. We're going to start there. And, a lot of people say, well, everybody's always been saved the same way, no matter what. Salvation is always the same. And God always demands the same thing out of people for salvation. Well, I don't believe that. And I believe we've talked about why I don't believe that. In the Old Testament, the folks that pleased God, Old Testament saints went to Abraham's bosom. And we know that Abraham's bosom was obviously in the center of the earth because the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man. In hell, Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. Then we have the death of the testator. So these people pleased God to a point where he allowed them to go to Abraham's bosom. Jesus Christ died, paid our sin debt. He went to Abraham's bosom, preached, and led captivity captive, led them folks out. So that being said, Christ was involved in them getting out of Abraham's bosom, going to heaven. So you can't take away from what Christ did. He was involved there. But people didn't get saved the exact same way. And here's the thing. The Old Testament saints weren't sealed. They could lose salvation. They could lose the Spirit of God. We know that because Saul... The Holy Spirit left Saul, and an evil spirit took over Saul, King Saul. And David was asking God, don't let thy spirit depart from me. So he knew he could have lost it. So in the church age, people are saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and sealed, Ephesians 4, 30. Saved and sealed. Saved. And sealed. Born again. People in the Old Testament weren't sealed and they weren't born again. They weren't placed in Christ. the Old Testament, no matter what people say they believe or claim to believe about dispensationalism, the Old Testament and the New Testament, everybody believes there's an Old Testament and New Testament, and there's a difference. They wouldn't call it the Old Testament and the New Testament. So there had to be a death of the testator, that blood shed on Calvary, for a New Testament. So the Old Testament saints pleased God, and when they pleased God, he didn't impute their sin to them, sent them to Abraham's bosom, and then Christ led them out of there. In the church age, when you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you become part of the body of Christ. You're saved and sealed. You're born again. So here we come to the tribulation and the millennial reign. The tribulation, now bear with me. The tribulation, I believe people are saved exactly like they're saved here, by trusting Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. However, then they have to work or they can lose it. Or, why would that be? Because there is no Holy Spirit sealing them. They're not born again. They don't become the body of Christ. They're not placed in Christ. This church age, you have the opportunity to trust Christ and become the body of Christ, be born again, be in Christ. Your destination is sealed, set for heaven, for eternity with Jesus Christ. The Old Testament saints, they had to trust Jesus Christ plus do some works to keep it. They could lose their salvation again. So I'm not saying they're saved differently in the tribulation. I'm saying that they're not sealed in the tribulation. So their salvation includes trust in Jesus Christ plus works. See what I'm saying? He does all the work to save them, but they got to work to keep it. That's Arminianism. That doesn't fit in the church age. So they're going to have to keep doing some works in the tribulation because they rejected him through the church age. Church age, all you have to do is trust Jesus Christ. So I believe people are saved the same way in the tribulation, but they are, whether or not they remain saved depends on their works, because they could trust the devil instead of Christ and lose their salvation. So where do you get stuff like that? Well, Saul did it. He wasn't sealed, so he did it. The church age is when people are born again and be put in the body of Christ. Guess what leaves at the end of the church age? The church, which is the body. And guess what else leaves? The Spirit of God, which indwells the believer. So what's left? The Word of God, which is Spirit, to testify to Jesus Christ. So people say, all right, they're going to trust Jesus Christ. A lot of the Jews are going to trust him as their Messiah. People will trust in Christ, but then they have to work to keep it. They could lose their salvation. That's what people are getting worried about. That's one reason there's a big battle over the pre-trib rapture. Because as a church age member, a church age saved, born again, believer in Christ, become part of the body of Christ, we're going to be raptured out of here. People are worried, well, you take the mark. Where there's the mark, there's the mark, there's the mark. Well, if we took the mark, we couldn't lose our salvation. We're sealed. But we're going to be out of here. The tribulation, those people take the mark. No matter what they believe about Jesus Christ, they quit. They stop their faith. You know in Hebrews when it says, if they fall away, there's no room for repentance? That's talking about the tribulation. If those people take the mark and start worshiping the beast, they're done. They believed in Christ or not, they're done. Because they stop, they lose their faith in Christ and they place it in the devil. That's what Hebrews is talking about. And that's why people go, well, you know, you can lose your salvation. And they'll go over to Hebrews and say, look here, that once you fall away, then they can't get their salvation back. Talking about people in the tribulation that trust Christ, believe on Christ, and then they take the mark and worship the beast. They're done. They're not gonna undo that. Because their salvation being kept is work-based. They're saved because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, but they're not sealed in the tribulation. That's what I believe. I believe I can show you that. We've talked about that before in the Old Testament. Again, Saul lost the Holy Spirit of God, and David was worried about losing it. You know, Saul, the difference between Saul and David, Saul never said one time, Lord, take not thy spirit from me. You know what Saul said? I'm obedient. I done it the way you wanted to do it, even though he didn't. He lied. He lied to Samuel. He said, well, I did. You know, what's the bleeding of this sheep we hear, you know, all this stuff. He didn't obey God, and God took the Spirit from him because obedience was part of salvation in the Old Testament. You know, you want to be obedient to God in the church age? Call on Jesus Christ, trust him as your Lord and Savior. Accept the finished work of Christ. trust God's righteousness instead of your own. But once the Spirit's gone, the church is gone, the tribulation happens, people trust Christ, then they have to work to keep it. And when you get over to the millennial reign, it gets kind of, it's a little bit different, because now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? So faith is going to be, the spiritual part of it will be gone because Christ is sitting there. They can actually see Him. So they don't have to put faith in a Christ they don't see, but they do have to put faith in God saying, you know, you come to me and you'll get blessings. You don't come to me, you're going to get cursed. So in the the millennial reign, we're going to be back in a works Old Testament setting. So look, He transitions out of the Old Testament law into the church age by giving the Jews a chance all the way through Acts chapter 7. And in a way, he's transitioning out of the church age into the tribulation in Hebrews. And in tribulation, He's giving them a chance to trust Christ plus their works. Over here, that's works. So I know this is a mess. I didn't really plan this out real well, and I don't write real well anyway, but they're not sealed. People are not sealed under the Old Testament, in the tribulation, in the millennial reign. The difference in the church age is they're sealed. Now remember, the millennial reign, you can see Jesus Christ. You can see His body. Remember they were looking on Him that they'd pierced? They can see Jesus Christ. Brother, before we go any further. Well, it was known as paradise in Abraham's bosom, and it was in the center of the earth. In Luke chapter 16, it talks about the Lazarus and the rich man, and they were seeing each other, but there was a gulf fixed between them. So then Jesus Christ in the New Testament led captivity captive. So these people were, and believe me, this is not purgatory, because these people weren't waiting for anybody on earth to pay for them or pray for them. They were waiting for the death of Jesus Christ. That's what they had to wait for. Now, I don't see any sign that they were trusting in the death of Jesus Christ. They were obeying the law. And they were, when they disobeyed the law, they made the sacrifices to get right with God. So they died in the will of God, not in their sin, by doing these sacrifices, which gave them the ability to get here. But there's really no evidence that they looked forward to the cross and seen Christ and got saved by that. And then they were just waiting for the death, burial, and resurrection. And the reason I say that is even the 12 disciples that walked with Him didn't understand the death, burial, and resurrection. So if He's walking with them, talking with them, preaching to them, they could become apostles. They're still having trouble believing the Holy Spirit's guidance of the, you know, explanation of the death, burial, and resurrection. How could these people understand it when the people that walked with Him didn't even understand it? So these people just trust God, like Abraham. You know what Abraham did? He didn't know where God was taking him, what God was going to do. He just trusted God. And God counted him for righteousness. And that's what the Old Testament saying. They just believed God. They were able to go to Abraham's bosom, and then Jesus Christ come down. I believe He preached to them, I'm the Messiah, and they believed it, and we'll play that. But these were people that had faith in God's Word here and obeyed God. So when the Word of God shows up, they obey Him and believe Him, and He leads them out of there. So they're not sealed here, obviously. We give a testimony of that in the Bible about Saul not being sealed. They're not sealed over here because it talks about faith plus works, and it also talks about not falling away, not being able to be renewed to repentance. I can't remember the exact wording. And then over here, the faith is gone, physically speaking, because He's literally there, and it's works. They're having to keep the law. They have to go to Him on the feast days and stuff and to get their blessing. So when people say, well, when I do say a lot that I believe people in tribulation are saved faith plus works. Well, that's not necessarily 100% accurate. They're saved by faith in Jesus Christ, but their works is what keeps them because they're not sealed. Just like over here, they're not sealed. This is the only time we have any record of anybody in the Bible being sealed other than in the tribulation when He's sealing 144,000 and the devil is sealing people and damning them to hell. So, that's a big difference. Now, this is very important and very humbling. The only time... When Jesus Christ is on this earth, they seen Him. He was physically visible. The rapture, for some, He's going to be physically visible. We're going to meet Him in the air. He's going to be physically visible again over here. The Battle of Armageddon. The only way he's visible today is by the Bible, by believers. I was going to write something else, but changed my mind. So the Bible and believers. So when people reject the Bible, they ought to see Christ in the believers. We're his body. I mean, when I look at your body, I recognize there's Terry, there's Nancy, there's, you know, on down the line. But if you're a child of God, people ought to recognize Christ through you. That being said, I don't think that this neo-evangelical lifestyle evangelism is the way you win people to Jesus Christ. But I think they ought to see Christ in you, and you ought to witness by testifying through the Word of God to them. Is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing? The words I speak in you, they are Spirit and they are life. We are supposed to show that Jesus Christ is in us and we belong to Him. And we're supposed to point people to Christ by giving them the Bible. So, how will they hear without a preacher? Right? And you automatically think, well, the pastor. No, you're a preacher. You're supposed to be a preacher of the good news. Now, not everybody's called the pastor. If you're not, thank God you're not. No, I mean, but not everybody's called the pastor, but everybody that's saved is called to be a witness. And preach the gospel just means proclaim the gospel. It doesn't mean have a pulpit in a church or necessarily a pulpit out in the street or anything like that, but you're called to preach. Because you're the believer, you're the body of Christ. They look at Christ, they should be able to look at you, they should say, there's somebody that belongs to Jesus Christ. And see, here's where it comes into the word Christian. They were first called Christians in Antioch because they looked like Jesus Christ. Now, you have to raise your hand, but think about this for a minute. How many people do you know in this world that are saved that they'd be the last person in the world you thought were saved? Right? Because they might be saved, but they haven't earned the right to be called a Christian, really. Nobody would identify them as a Christian. You know, you're in Walmart and you get that front row spot. Like my wife's like, praise the Lord. And I'm like, it's a parking spot, honey. I just thank God we got out of bed this morning. She's like, well, everything's a blessing. She's better at that than I am, really, seriously. I'm like, everything's, you know, it's an answer to the curse where the guy took my spot down the road. It's just karma. He would have got that spot if he wouldn't have caught mine, you know. But, you know, that's a testimony of your walk with Jesus Christ. You know, the way we deal with things and try to see things in Christ's way, in a biblical way, people notice that. Because most of the world doesn't do that. You know, most of the world just worldly and carnal, and they deal with everything the way, you know. And I understand sometimes probably we just want to slap somebody upside the head. Amen. But that's not our general way. Our general way is, we want to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Now, we still are in this flesh, and every once in a while we get the other way. But the world's just the other way. I mean, the first thing that people most generally think is not turn the other cheek. Amen? The first thing they do is want to misquote the Bible and say, vengeance is fine, saith the Lord. Amen? Instead of vengeance is mine. Sometimes we get that way, too. I'm not lying to you. I'm not going to lie to you. Try not to lie in church, amen? But the whole world system is set up about me, 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 and revenge. But we're supposed to be about others and Christ and forgiveness, which is a difficult pill to swallow, amen? But we're the body. The Old Testament, the law showed them the righteousness and holiness of Jesus Christ, of God. The church age, we're supposed to show that. The tribulation, they're going to see through the Scripture and the Old Testament prophets and law, and trust Christ and have to work to keep it. And over here, they're going to see Christ and have to do the works that He commands them to do. So when I say people are not saved the same way all the way through, I believe that. But I believe in the tribulation they're saved the same way we are, but they're not sealed because they're not sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. They don't have that spirit. They want to trust in the flesh. God's going to give them the opportunity to trust in the flesh. All right, you trust Christ. Now you're going to have to do some things in the flesh to earn it, to keep it, not earn it. He paid the whole price for it, but they got to keep it. They could lose it. Because over here, they could fall on their face down here and say, I believe Jesus Christ, the Messiah. We're going to trust Him and Him alone. We're going to go through this thing, and we're not going to bow to the image of Baal. We're not going to do that. And then over here, they go, well, you know what? A box of Cheerios sure would be pretty handy right now. Maybe a little bit of water. So they end up bowing to the beast and taking the mark of the beast, and they're lost. Were they saved? Sure they were. But they lost it. You don't lose it here. These people aren't born again. These people aren't born again. You are born again when you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, sister. I'm not saying they're unsaved. I'm saying they're not sealed. Are you talking about here? Tribulation? Well, because for this whole period of time, people reject what Jesus Christ has done. And God's long-suffering, He's still giving people. That's what Romans is about. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. So anybody that calls on Christ in this church age is saved, and they become a child of God. They're sealed. They're born again. These people can get saved, but they can't get born again. They can't be born again because the Holy Spirit's not saving and sealing. Because they reject Him. They are rejecting. They're saying, we refuse to accept your righteousness. We're establishing our own righteousness. And God says, you can't establish your own righteousness, over and over and over again. And then they say, well, we reject Jesus Christ. We reject the New Testament. We reject. You know, when they reject the New Testament, they're rejecting the blood of Jesus Christ because it's set in the New Testament. So God finally says, all right, I'm going to answer your prayer. Because their prayer was, when they crucified Christ, His blood be upon us and upon our children. It was, okay, that's what you want. You want to follow the devil instead of me? You can accept the devil as your false Messiah here, and you can get saved by trusting Jesus Christ, but they can't get sealed. They have to. If you want to work to keep it, all right. These people will trust Christ, but they're going to have to work to keep it because the Holy Spirit's not there sealing people. And I know it's a little bit confusing, but one reason it's confusing is our whole life, everybody says, well, everybody's always saved the same way. And you're like, no, not really. And now, of course, a lot of people have a lot of trouble with eternal security because their whole life they've been told you can't know for sure. Well, I mean, we've got a Bible. These things are written, you that believe in the name of the Son of God, you may know you have eternal life, and you may believe in the name of the Son of God. Okay, so that right there says you can know it. So who's right, God or the preacher? God or the Pope? God or the bishop? God or the Lutheran minister? God or the church of God? God's right. But He's talking about church age. These people can know they're saved over here. But they're also going to know if they lose it. Sister? That's right. Well, God might seal some folks over here because He seals the 144,000, but you could be sealed for the devil in here. Those people are sealed and dead. See, that's the funny, it's not funny, humorous, the irony of the devil's plan and God wiping it out. The devil always wants to mimic everything. So now the devil's mad because God's sealing people. He can't get your salvation. I mean, He can totally obliterate your life, your testimony, and everything else, but He can't get your soul. So over here, what's He doing? He's sealing people for damnation. He's saying, oh, I can do that too. You're sealing people to your side, I'll seal people to my side. And He does it. But God's got 144,000 male Jewish virgins that He sealed for Him as a testimony, and He's got Moses and Elijah. Brother? Boy, that'd be great, but that's not the way it works for me. It depends on where my heart is. I don't know about you. I probably do because we're a lot alike. People are people, right? And we all fight the same flesh and the same things in life. But Some days I read it just because I'm supposed to. Sometimes I read it because I want to. Sometimes I pray about it and say, Lord, show me something, and I mean it. Sometimes I say, Lord, show me something because I know I'm messed up and I need something. And it's like, I don't know. It's up to him what he gives me and when he gives it to me. But when my heart's not right, I'm not going to get the same thing out of the Bible. Sometimes, but it's the Word of God. I say, keep doing it. If you're doing it just because you're doing it, do it. But pray that God will give you the right heart to do it right. And more often than not, in this world, in this flesh, we're doing it out of duty instead of because we desire the relationship. And that's sad, but I'll be honest with you. It's a lot of times, probably 60% of the time, we open the Bible up and we're not where we were the other day. It's like, not necessarily. Here's something else I found that I'll set up. This is my minimum. This is what I'm doing every morning. Because if I don't do this, I'll quit. Amen. You know what I mean? So this is what I'm doing every morning. And sometimes I really want God to talk to me, really need him to talk to me, and I'm begging him for something. And I do my minimum, and that's not enough because he's wanting to sacrifice. The minimum is what you already set up. So now you got to keep reading. You might have to read 10 chapters. You might have to read 10 books of the Bible before he speaks to you. But sometimes you just have to say, I'm wrestling with you until one of us wins. I'm going to read until you show me something. So you might read 2 chapters a day and get to a point where you're not getting anything out of it. And the Lord says, why don't you just keep reading? And then when you start actually sacrificing and going, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it because you want me to, that's when the Lord will show up and start speaking to you again. That's been my experience. And it's not sacrifice when you set it up as part of a program. But when he says, I know you're busy, and I know you're in a hurry, I know you got 10 minutes before you have to leave, and you want a coffee and a bagel, but maybe I'm more important than coffee and a bagel. Amen. And that's when you're going, okay, it's about you and me. If I have to call in sick, I'm going to get something from you. Amen. Brother? You notice something about Christ? He never pointed anybody to religion. He was trying to pull them away from it. Well, yes and no. They won't to the extent necessarily of salvation, but they will know there's something different. We're supposed to be we're peculiar people. There's something different about us. But it's something really that you can't like wake up and go, I'm going to do this to show them I'm saved. It's just a walk with Christ and they start seeing things that you're not intending for them to see even. That's why the people in Antioch were called Christians. They were doing things that showed the world they were different than everybody else. And it wasn't like they'd done one thing. And see, that's what a lot of this milky, shallow Christianity today is. I'm sending money to Zimbabwe to build a school for the blind. Praise the Lord, do that. But the world's doing that too. It's works. Look at my works. Look at my works. The world's not interested in your works. They're interested in your walk. They can see a difference in your walk. It's just like I've talked about before. I've had over the years, and Lord, I don't want to do this again. I've done it a couple times. It's up to you though. I just don't want my car to break down. I hate using illustrations because then sometimes the Lord says, all right, I'm going to try it again. But, I mean, over the years, I had a couple different occasions where the car broke down, and I'm furious. I'm like, I don't have the money for this. I don't have the time for this. We got no other car. Here comes the wrecker, and the Lord goes, yeah, witness to that guy. And you end up in a wrecker for an hour and a half, 2 hours witnessing to a guy. And by the time you're through, you're like, oh, thanks for breaking the car down. Could you fix it now? Amen. I know you can. But it's just stuff like that. You know, The wrecker driver has spent hours and hours and hours and hours and hours in that truck with people over the last month. Nobody's ever talked to him about the Lord. Or maybe one or two people did. Maybe somebody mentioned it. You go to church. But you spend, 45 minutes in the truck bragging on Jesus Christ. And it's not because you plan to do it. You didn't want your car to even break down. It's just, hey, this is what it's all about. So the car broke down. Here's an opportunity. I'm going to take advantage of the opportunity. Any of you ever complain for the whole record ride, and then afterwards go, oop, I blew the opportunity? Maybe not that specific thing, but other things. I blew the opportunity. So, that's the thing is, if we're actually taking advantage of the opportunities the Lord gives us to brag on Him, lift Him up, and to witness, then people are going to know there's a difference. And, I have people sometimes, they say, well, I want to buy something, or you're going to buy something, how about Wednesday night? And I walk to church on Wednesday night. Oh, okay. They just automatically don't expect to hear that anymore. That's why they're saying, hey, Wednesday night, I'll be home after 6. Well, Wednesday night's not good for me. I'll be in church. Oh, okay. What times are good for you? And I'm like, don't you even know when churches are anymore? anytime outside of, in the evening outside of Wednesday night, generally. But it's just a matter of your walk. It's not something we can intentionally do. It's something God does when we please Him to use us to testify that there's a better way. But ultimately, it comes down to the Scripture.